Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 19, and that's page 988 in the Pew Bible. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Please have your Bibles open. We're going to look at several passages this morning. We're actually going to start on the very first page, Genesis chapter 1. If you will have your Bibles, turn to that, and then we'll be looking at some other passages, especially in the New Testament, as well as we close out 2018. And that's sort of a strange thing to hear and say, and I always heard growing up, the older you get, the faster the years pass, and now I'm the person who's saying that to younger people. It's really hard to believe that 2018, in just a couple more days, will be behind us. For a moment, though, I want to go back to November 2017. November 2017 is when the elders and I met in Baileyton for what has become our annual leadership retreat, where the four of them and I get together and we pray, we plan, we talk about what we envision for especially this congregation in the year ahead. We talk about triumphs. We talk about maybe setbacks or disappointments. We set goals and we dream. And in November 2017, as we discussed all of these things, and we threw out some ideas of what would be our theme and what would be our focus for 2018, they put before me the theme that for our members you've heard us say many, many times. You've heard me say it many times in my lessons. Our theme for 2018 has been the Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life. And you will find those words, the Spirit gives life, in 2 Corinthians 3:6. And hopefully for us as the church here, we have seen through Scripture over and over again ways in which the Spirit brings and gives life to those who have been brought to God in Christ. And hopefully in the growth of our knowledge, it's not just head knowledge that we have gained, but if He is the Holy Spirit, we have spiritually grown and become more alive because of our awareness and our understanding of Him and His work in our lives. Back in November 2017, when the elders put before me the Spirit gives life, I liked it. I thought it was a great idea, a great topic with a lot of potential, and something that for me personally, I thought would be of great benefit, and something that I thought would be of great benefit to us as a congregation, having a greater recognition of the Spirit, and also hopefully us coming to experience a greater sense of spiritual life. But I also realized as I liked what they put before me that it would be a challenge. That it would not always be easy. And one of the primary reasons, and I've probably said this before throughout this past year, but I will say it very clearly right now. For those of us who've been affiliated and have grown up in churches of Christ, we as a group, by and large, have not always been the most comfortable talking about the Holy Spirit. We've often been silent about Him. We've often ignored Him, whether that's intentional or not, I can't really say. We sometimes might make a reference here or there to Him, but we haven't really spoken about Him, to be candid, the way that we have this past year, in our lessons, in our sermons, and in other ways. And I think there's a couple of main reasons why we traditionally have been reluctant and hesitant to talk about the Holy Spirit. One is because of the fact that some of the religious world has spoken of the Holy Spirit in ways that take licenses that go beyond the reach of Scripture. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gets thrown in a way, gets thrown around in a way that can be greatly misused, greatly misunderstood, and really doesn't always bring a lot of spiritual benefit to people. And so we see that sometimes in the religious world, and it causes us to hesitate and to retreat. And maybe in that extreme, on the other end, we go to our own extreme, where we just say, well, let's just not say anything at all because we're afraid it might give people the wrong idea. Another reason, and I think there's a lot of merit to this reason, why we've often been silent about him, is because he is difficult to understand. Admittedly, as I have taught and preached about the Holy Spirit this year, and passages that make clear reference to him, there are still many things about which I have questions. There are still many things that I don't completely know or understand. But if you remember all the way back in January when we were first introducing our theme for the year, one of the things I said is that we don't understand everything about God the Father either. And we don't understand everything about God the Son. And yet we still talk about them, as we should on a regular basis. And so just because we don't completely understand, and here's the other thing, because the Father, Son, and Spirit are God, we will never completely know and understand or comprehend everything about them, because that is just such vast knowledge that goes beyond our human capabilities. But even with that recognition, it should not cause us, again, to retreat and be silent. Because if you really believe that the Spirit gives life, if we are silent about the Spirit, we are depriving ourselves of a sense of spiritual life. We are probably withholding from ourselves and others a sense of good that comes from the Spirit. And so throughout this year, I have done my very best. At times, I've probably failed. At times, I've probably been rather mediocre. But I've done my best to present the Spirit from Scripture in a way that is fair, that is respectful, but that also just, well, the adage that many of us grew up with, that speaks where the Bible speaks. And also is silent where the Bible is silent. And as we close out 2018, I don't want us to view this theme for 2018, the Spirit gives life, as just some trite or trivial thing that we did for a little while and move on from it. In fact, I don't think we should view any of our yearly themes that way. And I don't think the elders want us to view them that way either. It's just something, well, it was a nice thing to focus on for a while, now let's move on to something else. No, this is something that we should continue in and grow by and always continue to recognize and acknowledge who the Spirit is and what he has done and what he continues to do through us as his people. And as hopefully we become more comfortable in speaking about the Spirit in a way that is fair and honest and faithful to Scripture, we have to acknowledge that Scripture itself is very comfortable in speaking about the Holy Spirit. And we find that out in the very first words of the sacred text. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And then we're introduced to him. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. From the very beginning, we are told that there is a Spirit. And as we've mentioned throughout this year, especially in last week's lesson, as we focused on the fact that as you go throughout Scripture, wherever you see the Spirit, what do you see? You see life. You see life coming into existence. You see life being experienced on a greater level, to a greater degree. And you also see a promise. Sometimes it's even spoken of as a down payment of a sense of life, eternal life, that he has guaranteed to us who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we close out this year, and we close out with a connection to our theme, our thinking on some of these things. I just want to reiterate a few things. And if we acknowledge that Scripture is a product of the Spirit's work, what we really acknowledge is not just with Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, but with every word and every sentence and every book that we call inspired, what do we find? We see the work of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is not just found in the verses of the Bible that specifically mention and reference Him, but the Holy Spirit Himself is responsible, is directly behind everything that has been breathed out. Again, something that's breathed out, something that gives us life in these 66 books that we call the Bible. But Scripture is not the only product of the Spirit's work. Because one thing that Scripture also makes clear is that we who are Christians, we are to be a product of the Spirit's work and the Spirit's presence in our lives. And one thing I want to emphasize this morning is the fact that we work together with the Spirit. My first point is you, and I want you to make it personal. You and the Spirit, you work in tandem. I'm speaking to those of us who are Christians. Now, if you are not a Christian, times like these when we gather together for worship, you know, people who teach and preach, sometimes you have certain considerations. And sometimes you have to consider your audience. And in every audience, there probably is the possibility, there's a high likelihood that not everyone among us today or any given week has put Christ on. We want that for you. God certainly wants that for you, to put Christ on in baptism, to have your sins washed away, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that Peter and the apostles promise in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And if you know who God is and who His Son is, and you know what you need to do, we hope before today's over you make that decision. But if you're not a Christian yet, there are certain things I'm about to say that don't specifically apply to you, but for those of us who are, and I don't mean that rudely, that's just a fact. But for those of us who are Christians, this is something that we should take very seriously and very personally, is that we, make it personal for you, for me, it's me, that we and the Spirit, we work in tandem. We submit ourselves. We have the choice to submit ourselves to the Spirit. We can follow His leading, or we can reject it and chart our own path and go our own course. But when we do that, it will not go well with us. That doesn't mean that we are greater than the Spirit. The Spirit is God, and because of that, He is greater than us. He is more powerful than us. He has all authority, and He is sovereign. But that doesn't mean that we've lost our free will. And that's why in that passage that Ben read for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this series of just sort of bullet point statements that Paul makes as he's writing to that church, and as he continues to speak through inspiration to us today, one of the last things he will tell those Christians in Thessalonica, don't quench the Spirit. Now, why does Paul say that? Because we can quench the Spirit. Not that we can quench who the Holy Spirit is, not that we can minimize His power, but His work in our lives we can set aside, we can ignore, we can dismiss and put our will ahead of His will. And so we have to be working together in tandem with one another, allowing ourselves to follow His lead and His guidance. So don't quench the Spirit. Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, if you'll turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you have one of the Pew Bibles, that's on page 995. 2 Timothy chapter 1, in writing to his young protege, his son in the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, Paul will write these words. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. In the context of this passage, I do not see any evidence that Paul is speaking to some sort of miraculous manifestation of the Spirit. I think this is the normal everyday presence of the Spirit in a believer's life. But he tells this young man, Timothy, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. If you wonder, what's this good deposit? You go back a few verses to the end of verse 10. I think he's talking about the gospel. This deposit, this treasure, I think some translations render it, is similar to what you will read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, where Paul will speak of this treasure we have in earthen vessels. This vessel, this container that we are nothing special, but we possess something that's special within us. In 2 Corinthians 4 there, Paul again is speaking about the gospel. He tells Timothy, by the Holy Spirit, who dwells within you, guard the gospel, preserve the gospel for yourself, but also for those that you touch and reach and influence. But that begins with us on a personal basis. Go to James chapter 4. There is, as Jesus' brother is writing his letter to early Christians, he is not silent about the Spirit or his presence in our lives either. James 4, beginning with verse 4. That's on page 1012 if you have one of the pew Bibles. James will write, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Verse 5. "Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us." Now, if you have the ESV that I'm reading for, maybe every translation is like this. Verse 5 does not capitalize Spirit as some other verses might when speaking of the Holy Spirit. That's an editor's choice, the publishing company. The original manuscripts don't come with capitalization. And so editors and translators over time have to decide. And I think where this is not capitalized, and sometimes our understanding is, you know, for it to be the Holy Spirit, it has to be capitalized. I think here James is talking about the Holy Spirit because he's talking about the Spirit that God has given to dwell within us. And what's the context of this passage? What is James getting at? He says, here's what you have a choice of. Here's a choice between two options as a follower of Jesus. You can either be a friend of the world or you can be a friend of God's. And you know what God wants for us? God wants to be our friend. That in itself is an amazing and mind-blowing thought. That the God who made heaven and earth and everything else that can be seen and everything else that is beyond the ability to see, that God, eternal in every quality that is good, that God wants to have a friendship with us. And he's gone to such extreme lengths to establish that friendship, to give us his Spirit to dwell within us. But here's where this working together, working in tandem, comes into play. When we make ourselves friends with the world, we are not living by the Spirit's presence. We're not leading, or we're not following the leading of the Spirit. We are depriving ourselves of that spiritual benefit, that spiritual growth, that life, the Spirit who gives life. But how does God view things? He yearns jealously. Not jealous in a sinful sense, jealous in the most righteous of senses. That what God wants for us is for his Spirit to not just exist, but to be within his people. The question is, do we allow that? And then finally on this point, turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is a passage that we have drawn from and referenced probably more than anything else this year. And that's because Romans 8 is largely about the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, page 944 in the Pew Bibles. I'll begin with verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Skip down to verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And hopefully our spirits, our individual spirits, do bear witness with the Holy Spirit. That we are sons and daughters of God above. But when you go back to verse 13, Paul does make it conditional. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Again, this working together, this working in tandem. We, by the Spirit, experiencing a greater sense of life by putting to death the deeds of the body. In a word, putting death, putting sin to death. And so we all, and you as an individual, we work in tandem with the Spirit. And secondly, the church and the Spirit, we are to work in tandem. If each one of us as individual Christians are to work in tandem with the Spirit, then we as the church certainly should be working in tandem with the Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 17. And here in the context, it's clear that Paul is talking about the church. As we read this passage, that will be evident. But then consider where the Spirit's work falls into this context. Ephesians 2, beginning verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And all of that makes it clear. We're talking about the church here, but don't miss what he says in verse 22. In him, you also are being built together into what? A dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We as the church are being built. This is an ongoing process. We are being built into a dwelling place for God himself. And who is a part of that work? The Spirit. It is being done by the Spirit. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. There Paul is giving a warning to those who might seek to do harm or even destroy God's temple, the church. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Paul will write, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Again, in that context, Paul is speaking of us collectively as the church. We are God's temple. We are God's dwelling place. And here we're reminded that we're not mightier or greater than God or His Spirit. You want to harm these entities? We're actually doing destruction to ourselves. But we are God's presence by His Spirit. And because of that, He brings new life to us. And we see Him at work in our lives. We see His fruit, as we've often referenced throughout this year. And I'm happy to say that in 2018, we have seen good things, fruit that has been born out of our spiritual commitment and us working in tandem with the Holy Spirit. This is by no means a comprehensive list, but the other day I was thinking, you know, this past year, yeah, there have been ups and downs. There have been bad things along with good things. But I think that we as a collective group, as a church, can say there has been true spiritual growth and there has been much fruit that has been born of our efforts. I was reminded of this just the other day. You know, I don't always get up here and tell everybody or brag about the things that have taken place behind the scenes that very few people know about. But sometimes we need to know about these things and be reminded of them. You heard us mention earlier that Doug Hobbs had to have an appendectomy early Friday morning. Well, Thursday night, he and Elizabeth were in the emergency room. And, you know, if you've ever been in those situations, you got young kids, it's hectic. It's chaotic. And you're trying to figure out how to get everything straight and working out medical details. Well, lo and behold, as Elizabeth and Doug are in the hospital, Becky and Rich and Curtis Hawkins, I think it was like around midnight, descend on the hospital and say, "What can we do to help you all out?" And they helped them with their situation through the night, and eventually the boys ended up with Elizabeth's family and all that. But that is a spiritual work. Yeah, the physical things took place. Later that Friday, I come to the building after Doug's surgery. I walk into the building, and there's Tim Thompson with a rug doctor shampooing all of the carpets. Now, you might say, well, you know, that's just a physical work. Well, it's a physical work with a spiritual motivation. He saw something that needed to be done. He could do it a way that he could help things out around here. And, you know, things like this happen on a regular basis among our people. We don't always highlight or brag about it. And to be honest with you, I don't always know about them. Sometimes it'll be weeks later, somebody will say to me, "Well, why didn't you say something about that?" And I say, "I didn't know about it." And sometimes us not knowing about it also reminds us that people aren't doing these things to be recognized by men. They're just doing it because it needs to be done. I think about Russ Mitchell this past year. Russ is a busy guy with a lot going on. His work schedule is always changing. But Russ has become invested with World English Institute, helping people learn English in other parts of the world that very few of us would ever have an opportunity to reach, sometimes because of political factors, sometimes because of religious factors. But teaching people English and using the Bible to do so. And sometimes we have pictures of people Russ is engaged with or others with that work who we pray for. And I think, you know what, that is fruit. Some of you women have been blessed with the women's Bible class, and you have discovered the depth and degree to which you can become more familiar with the Spirit through the Word that He has inspired, and you have become more confident in reading and engaging with Scripture and discussing it with one another. I've had multiple of you come to me and say, I'm amazed by how much we've learned and gained from this. Not just for head knowledge, but for life knowledge. I think about the fact that among us, I'll detail this in next week's newsletter, there have been 4 mission trips to various parts of the world. And the list could go on and on of things that have taken place. But I don't want it just to end with that, and I know you don't either. But my point is, God and the work of His Spirit have moved us to do more spiritual things, to bear more spiritual fruit, because the Spirit gives life, especially when we as the church work in tandem with Him. I want to close this morning by looking at the last page of the Bible. We started with Genesis chapter 1. I want to close with Revelation chapter 22. There's a passage here that we probably have read many times. We've probably never really given it a whole lot. And I'll admit, I probably have not given it a whole lot of thought until this year. Revelation chapter 22. The Spirit makes His presence known in the opening paragraph. And so we shouldn't be surprised in the closing words of Scripture. There He is as well. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. John, as he is exiled on the island of Patmos, he writes these words. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. That first sentence, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, who are these two figures? Well, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And who is the bride? The bride is the church. And it's interesting that in the very last words of all Scripture, the two figures that we have speaking together are the Holy Spirit and the bride of Christ, the church. But they're only saying one thing. They're only saying one word. They're saying, come. To whom are they saying this? It's Jesus Christ. Because you skip down just a few verses. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. And then John says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You see, when the church and the Spirit are working together and working in tandem, what do they both look forward to and anticipate and want to welcome? The coming of Christ. The return of Christ. And why is it that the Spirit and the church are the two saying this together? I believe it goes back to passages like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, in which the Spirit is spoken of as a down payment, as a guarantee for something that will happen in the future. And in Ephesians 4, 30, Paul speaks of that as the day of redemption. The day in which everything that we have ever lived for and everything that we've ever hoped for and everything as Christians that we would ever want to be, and that is fully united with God and His Son, it comes to reality. And in the meantime, the Spirit is working in tandem with us. And so long as the Spirit is working in tandem with us as a church, what do we say about the return of Lord Jesus? Come. Come. As John says, come, Lord Jesus. Because that's what we ultimately hope and desire and live for. Not just in 2018. Not just in 2019 either. And so I hope and pray that we all have been blessed with a greater view and understanding and confidence in who the Holy Spirit is, what He has done and what He continues to do. But I don't want it to end there for myself or for you as individuals or for us as the church. Because if we are going to grow spiritually, if we're going to have a greater sense of life spiritually, we throw around that word spiritually, well, where does that come from? From the Holy Spirit who gives life. And so may God bless us to that end. This morning, if these promises and these confidences cannot be yours, we reiterate the words of Scripture from Revelation 22, verse 17. After the Spirit and the bride say, come, John also says, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who is spiritually parched, let the one who is empty, let the one who desires to take the water of life without price, let that person come. If you need the water of life this morning, if you need eternal life, if you need to be redeemed and bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ, and if you need the Spirit, we encourage you, put Christ on. Identify with Him in His death and burial resurrection that's represented in baptism, and come up as a new person, a spiritual person who has a new sense of life. For those of us who are Christians, let us continue to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And when we do, we will bear that fruit. If that's missing in your life this morning, if you need us to pray with you, if you need to get your life back on track, or if you just are at a period in your life where you need your church family to surround you in love and care, we're here to do that. Whatever your need is this morning, please come forward while we stand and sing.